Take your Bibles and join me tonight in turning to Exodus chapter number 33. Children, you can go too. I don't know if these are called the blessings tonight. They're not the blessings tonight. Ages 4 through 9 are no longer blessings. It's amazing what a day's change can bring. Our daughter, Karis, she's 10 years old. Growing up, we nicknamed her Sweet and Sour. Because, brother, one minute she could be sweet, the next minute she could be sour. And anyway, children, it's your time to go. So I think everybody's out. I saw a couple of adults try to sneak out, but I told them to sit back down. So you got to be in here for the next 2 hours. I'm just kidding. All right. So some of you say you may be here for the next 2 hours. Just turn the light off when you leave. So it's good to see you this evening. What's that? Yeah. It's good to see you tonight. And coming over here, I got here maybe about 5:40, 5:45, and ate supper with Pastor here. Some of you say, I thought you were struggling when you were singing tonight. You're exactly right. When you've got a full stomach and you try to sing some of those high notes. But we ate, had a good time of fellowship, but it gave me a taste of some of the traffic that you folks have to go through around here. You'll get a martyr's crown for some of that. I was driving by saying, thank God I'm going that way and not that way. But for some of you tonight, I know it was probably a big rush to get here. And I want to thank you for making it a priority to be here on this Tuesday or this Monday night. Exodus chapter 33. In a moment, I'm going to read just a few verses, three verses as a matter of fact. Before I do, I want to say to all of you teens here tonight, I've got something for you on the back table. There's lanyards back there, blue, green, pink. It amazes me how many guys get pink lanyards. That's sort of surprising to me. But something just as a little token, thanking you for being here tonight, teens, and glad that you're in a good place. And so grab one of those. You'll see them on the table after the service. Exodus chapter 33, let's begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up, and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And pay very careful attention to this last phrase, where the Bible says, and the Lord talked with Moses. I want to talk to you tonight about communication from God. It amazes me in the day we live in, communication is easier than ever before. I still remember when I was in college, we used payphones. It humors me to see a younger generation a pay what? A payphone. Where you actually had to place a quarter into that phone to make a local call. And if you wanted to make a long distance call, you had to go to Walmart and buy a phone card. That phone card usually had a 1-800 number that you had to dial. And then after you dialed the 1-800 number, it had a list of numbers this long that you had to dial as an identification code for that card. And all it took was messing up by one digit to have to start all over again. And then after you'd gone through all of that trauma, then you would try to remember the phone number you were actually trying to dial, enter it, and you'd have success. I remember the day when we wanted to communicate, we actually used the postal service. I can still remember looking for blue boxes sometimes in a town, putting a stamp on my letter and dropping it in that blue box, hoping that the letter would get there within the week. But you know, those days are long gone, aren't they? I mean, nowadays, most of us have within our possession a phone, electronic leash, whatever you prefer to call it. There are some of you that still live in the simpler forms of life. You say, I don't have a smartphone, I have a flip phone. Some of you have that phone where it's not a smartphone, but you just flip it up and you have a keyboard, but you don't have all the gadgetry, and ironically, you don't have as big a phone payment either as some of these other folks do. But it amazes me. I remember when texting first came out. Now, I'm going to be honest. When texting first came out, I thought, that's crazy. Why in the world would somebody want to text? Now, you have to know a little bit of that story. It used to be when you used the old flip phone, you had to press the same number three times, sometimes to get the right letter. And something that would test your spirituality is to go over it one time and have to go back again. Just hit a button five or six times just to get the letter that you're looking for. And I thought, man, I would never text. Well, I'm going to tell you, those days are over with. You know, isn't it wonderful when you have somebody that you know would talk your leg off if you let them, you can just text them a question. Or, if that person texts you, you don't have to talk about the weather, you don't have to talk about your favorite teams, you can just type yes or no, and that's it. You don't even want to type a letter, use an emoticon, thumb up, thumb down, and that's the same difference. And so anyway, now we have phones, we text each other. Listen, fellas, isn't it wonderful when you go to the grocery store to buy that list of things that your wife sent you to buy and you forget it, you can call her. Humble yourself and call her rather than going through the embarrassment of buying the wrong thing and coming home to her wrath. You say, you sound like you're an authority on that subject. It's none of your business. But it really amazes me, this one phone that I have in my hand tonight has more memory in it than the first computer I ever used, by a long shot. Every Sunday afternoon on this phone, I get an email thousands of miles away that was sent by my former college mate, Michael Raines, who's a missionary in Kenya, East Africa. Been there really since about 1998. And he can communicate with me thousands of miles just by simply pressing a button. Blows my mind. I think it's safe to say tonight all of us would be in agreement. We'd say, boy, human communication has come a long ways. I'm going to tell you, if you don't talk to each other, communicate with each other, in this day and time in which we live, we have more tools at our disposal than ever before. There's no excuse for not communicating. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring you to your attention tonight something that's gravely alarming to me. And I find that while our human communication has excelled greatly over the last 20 years, I'm afraid our divine communication has failed miserably. If I might put it in 2016 jargon and lingo, it amazes me how infatuated I can become with everybody's status and on my favorite app see how everybody is doing and yet not see what God is doing. You say, oh, preacher, you're all against. I'm not saying anything. Don't put words in my mouth. There's some people in this church. I'm friends with you on Facebook. There's teenagers I keep up with, maybe on Instagram. I use various forms of social media, but it strikes me that sometimes we're more concerned about everybody else's status than we are hearing from God Himself. Let's be honest, there are times where we are more eager to get a text from our best friend than a sound word from our God. And I don't care whether it's in 2016 or 18 and 12, let me tell you tonight, it is so important for us to place a premium on hearing from God no matter what era it is. And can I tell you, to everyone tonight, God wants you to hear from Him. And not only can you hear from Him in a church service, I want you to know you can hear from Him in your living room. You can hear from Him in that quiet moment, that quiet hour. You can hear from Him every day that you choose. And I want to take you back thousands of years ago and see how God communicated with a man named Moses. And I want to ask you tonight, is your communication from your God as important to you as it was to Moses many years ago? To every Christian teenager here tonight, let me tell you, there's nobody else you can hear from any greater than God Himself. Some of you that are on social media, you know, there's some people who are stalkers. They want to know everybody's business. They get on there and they see everybody's business. Listen, if that's you tonight, listen, you may see what Mabel's doing, you may see what Margaret's doing, but don't you forget about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So let's journey back and see Moses and his communication from God. And I ask you, when is the last time you've heard from God? So we begin in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation." I'd like to stop there tonight and just do a little explaining, if I may. Back in the Old Testament, whether you know it or not, they did not have church. Did you know that? By the way, if you listen to a preacher and he says there's church in the Old Testament, there's a button on your console that you ought to push. It's called off, because it's not there. Israel didn't know what it was like to have a Bible Baptist church. They didn't know what it was like to have a founding pastor who would thunder the Word of God. They didn't know what it was like to have padded pews. They didn't know anything like this, but they had no concept of church. But what they did have was a tabernacle. That tabernacle was a portable building that Israel would take around from place to place. And everywhere they went, that tabernacle went, and they would set up that tabernacle, and believe you me, that tent was a very special tent. They did not treat it with levity. They did not treat it haphazardly. You didn't go into the tent, you didn't go into the tabernacle of the congregation acting foolish. Why? Because that tabernacle was a very special place. Now, while I've told you tonight that the church and the tabernacle certainly aren't one and the same, I will make this application this evening. I believe when we come to the house of God, we ought to treat it with the greatest importance. Why? Because it's so often in these services, within these walls, that God wants to speak to us. And I hope that this place will always have a special place in your heart, not just bricks and mortar, but people as you gather together. But I do believe that in the New Testament you find a counterpart to the Old Testament tabernacle. This tabernacle was a meeting place. It was literally the dwelling place of God. It is where God met with man and they dwelt together. You know, I believe tonight that there is a New Testament counterpart to the tabernacle. It's not the church, but you know, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what Israel saw on the outside, looking at the tent of the congregation, the tabernacle there, when God would come down and He would dwell with man and He would indwell that tabernacle and His presence would fill it, if you're a Christian here tonight, do you understand your body is the temple of God? That to me is an amazing thought. And that's why we ought to treat our temples with great carefulness, realizing that these temples are made not by our own hands, but God Himself. You ever notice how our behavior changes sometimes in church? And sometimes it's understandable. How many times have you ever heard a parent say, "Don't you run through church"? Now, they'd let them run out in the parking lot like wild banshees. But they said, "Don't you run in church." If a kid came through here and started marching up the pews, just dancing one by one, parent comes and say, "Don't you do that in the house of God." Why? Because all of us have hopefully a corporate sense of reverence, but I wonder if we transferred that sense of reverence not just to the house of God, but what do we do with our own bodies, with what we do with our eyes, with what we do with our hands, with what we say with our tongue. So the tabernacle of the congregation has been pitched. It's up. And then in verse number 8, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." Here's what happens. Two Hebrew boys playing kickball in the front yard. You said they play kick. I don't know what they played, but they had to play something. All of a sudden, they look out in the distance and they see Moses making his way to the tabernacle. They stop what they're doing. Maybe they run to the door and they say, "Mom, Dad, look, there goes the man of God. He's going to the tabernacle." And Israel came to a screeching halt. You know why? Because I believe that they corporately realized that Moses meeting with God was a very important and special event. And I want to encourage every family represented in this room tonight, listen, anytime you have the opportunity for your family to hear from God. Anytime you have an opportunity for your family to reverence God and to hear His careful word, you ought to take opportunity to put your family under that. Because it is a special thing. Not tonight because of a preacher, but because of a message that God has for you. And so everybody stands still. Everybody stops. They say, look, the man of God is going to the tabernacle. And then we come to verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And this is very interesting. The phenomenon that we just read about did not happen with the help of a meteorologist, all right? You ever watch the weatherman? And they tell you something and the exact opposite thing happens. So it's certain they have no control of the weather. Sometimes I wonder, do they even know what they're doing? I think you and I could do it. We just make something up. It's going to be hot today, cold tonight. That's profound, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you, when the presence of God came over that tabernacle, listen, that cloud that was there was not just some mere weather pattern. That cloud, that cloudy pillar was representative of the presence of God, the leading of God. Do you remember how God led Israel for a season in its history? With a cloudy pillar during the day and a pillar of fire by night. Could you imagine if following the Lord today would be quite that easy? Just imagine with me, ma'am, you go wake up in the morning and the cloudy pillar takes you to the car. You get in the car. You drive a little ways and the cloudy pillar takes you to Walmart. You go to Walmart. Cloudy pillar takes you to aisle 3. Cloudy pillar takes you to aisle 4. And then the cloudy pillar takes you to the shortest line to get out of there. And then the cloudy pillar takes you to the dry cleaner. You follow the cloudy pillar, it takes you to McDonald's. You follow the cloudy pillar, it takes you to pick up your children. I mean, could you imagine that kind of direction? You say, oh, it's getting dark. Hey, no fear, it's going to turn into a pillar of fire. You won't be lost. That's how Israel followed God. Where do we go next? They followed that cloudy pillar. They followed that pillar of fire. That's how they did it. I hear people today, they say, oh, I wish God would lead us that way today. Boy, it would be so simple. Can I tell you, God has promised you that He can lead you just as clearly today as He led the nation of Israel. You say, how is that? Well, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. Here it is. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care what juncture you are in life. Listen to me. If you are a child of God, God will lead you if you'll just acknowledge Him in all of your ways. It's really not the complicated things in life that I'm having a lot of problems with. It's the simple ones. Sometimes it's hard to acknowledge the Lord. Listen, God can lead you just as sure as a cloudy pillar or a pillar of fire. I know He doesn't lead that way today, but He said, if you'll acknowledge me, you've got my promise, I'll lead you. But boy, then we come to an interesting, interesting phrase. And the Lord talked with Moses. Now I want to ask you a trick question tonight. You say, is it a trick question for real? I don't know. You be the judge. You ever had somebody ask you a question? You're like, well, it depends on how you answer it as to whether it's right or wrong. Here's my question. Don't think about it too hard and let me explain. Has the Lord ever talked with you? I mean, the Lord talked with Moses. Has the Lord ever talked to you? You ever hear just an audible voice out of nowhere? Moses did, burning bush. Moses, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And now the Lord talks with Moses? I remember years ago, Dwight Smith, many of you know Brother Dwight. I just talked to him on the phone as I was coming on my way. He's coming back from Memphis, Tennessee. He's preaching at Ambassador tomorrow. And we're looking forward to catching up. He's been out for several weeks. You know, I'll never forget Dwight and I. We were traveling together, and we were in a home where each of us had our own bedroom. We were staying with a quartet. And so he had his room, I had mine. Well, after we had been entertained by the hosts. We were going back to our room, and I looked over at Dwight, and I said, "Man, it's late. I think I'm going to bed." He said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to take a shower, and then I'm going to go to bed too." I said, "I'll see you in the morning." I'll never forget it. I walked into my room, and no sooner I walked in my room, I thought, you know, if he's going to the bathroom, man, this would be a good time to pull one over on him. And so I waited until he went into the bathroom and he'd gotten into the shower. And I went into his room and I got in the closet. And the closet had those old wooden shutter doors where you could look down and see out, but nobody could see in unless you got down on the floor and looked up. And boy, I just stood there for what seemed like an hour. I'm thinking to myself, how long does it take for him to get out of there? I'm smelling like mothballs in this closet, and it's not even my closet, and I'm just standing there. I'll never forget, he came in that night and he got in the bed. It was a huge bed. It was a huge bed, had a lamp on the side. The overhead light was turned off, the lamp was turned on, and Dwight took his little Bible and he put it on the bed. He rolled on his stomach, he read a proverb or a psalm or whatever he was reading, and finally he finished and he put that thing over on the lampstand and he turned that lamp off, rolled slap into the middle of the bed. And when it was pitch dark, all of a sudden, as I'm in the closet, all I do is go, And boy, I'm going to tell you, I did that. I couldn't see what he was doing, but I could hear it. He was slapping everything from the headboard to whatever he could get his hands on. You know why? Because it's just not a common thing to hear a voice out of nowhere. I think all of us can attest to that. All of us would say, oh man, I'll tell you, that would bother me. Listen, to be quite honest, in our modern day economy, the way we do things, if I walked by a bush and all of a sudden it called me by name, I'd be disturbed. But that's the way that God used to do it. You say, what do you mean, used to do it? Do you say he's not speaking anymore? I didn't say that. I'm just saying that's the way he used to speak. Men would hear an audible voice. Job didn't have a Bible. Perhaps the oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. Job didn't have Genesis, I believe, to look at. I believe it was daily talks that God had with Job. But you know, that's been many years ago. And you know, I can safely say tonight that God continues to speak to us through the pages of this book. Every time you hear this book preached, every time you read it for yourself, you can set it down and say, you know what? God has just spoken to me. Sometimes God gives you good news. Oh, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Sometimes it's bad news, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you mark it down, whether it's good news or bad news, it's always true and it's always right. And it's what you need to hear. Now, young people, I want to tell you tonight, when I'm preaching, I preached in a Christian school last week. I'll tell you, if I can just be honest, it was a street fight. Street fight because so many kids were so undisciplined in listening. You know, when you come to the house of God, why you ought to listen? You ought to listen because God wants to speak to you through this book. Moms and dads, you know why you ought to put your phone down and not be texting in church? I'll tell you why. Because it's not polite to talk to somebody else when God's trying to talk to you. By the way, just a preacher's tip. Did you know we can tell when you're texting in church? Oh, we can tell a lot. We can tell when you're tired. We can tell when you're fighting sleep. We can tell when you're making your bed and laying in it. We really do see. I want you to know that. That's why it's important. Why? Because every time that we open this book, whether it's in our personal devotion, or whether it's in our day-to-day living, or whether it's in a church service, God speaks to us through this book. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, we ought to be ashamed tonight when we realize that there are a number of other modern-day religions that reverence their text of Holy Scripture more than we do the Bible. Folks, I'll tell you, in some Muslim countries, little boys and girls treat their Quran with more respect than our boys and girls treat the Bible. But don't be too hard on those little boys. Be hard on those moms and dads. Folks, I believe if revival's going to come, and I believe it can, and it'll come without the help of any political candidate, I believe tonight that revival can come if we would treat this book with the seriousness that we once did. Who's the most important person to ever talk to you? I want you to think about that for a moment. What political figure, athlete, you'd say, oh, so-and-so talked to me. I remember when I was 4 years old, and for those of you that were raised in Western North Carolina, maybe you would remember this, but when I was a kid growing up, every Saturday morning religiously, I would get up. And I would watch a cartoon show, a kid's show, that was led by an old cowboy named Fred Kirby. Now that name doesn't mean a lot to some people, but Fred Kirby was an older cowboy who wore a red cowboy shirt, white hat, white tassels, and listen to me, Fred Kirby was the epitome of the good guy. I mean, every Saturday morning, I would watch Fred Kirby. I would, and as a four-year-old, I'm telling you, I thought he is the greatest thing since a slice of bread. And one day, my dad came to me, and he said, now listen, boy, next week, we're going to go to Tweetsie Railroad, which was an amusement park, still is in existence, up in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. And as soon as he said that, my jaw dropped, because Fred Kirby would often be at that amusement park greeting boys and girls. Man, I was on cloud nine, 4 years old. I'll never forget it. My mom, my dad, and my dad's mother, my mamaw, we called her. We all went. I got pictures to prove it. We all went up to Tweetsie Railroad, and I'm going to tell you, once we paid admission and went through the gate, the very first person I saw is I made a beeline towards the place where Fred Kirby was at. There was a smaller horse and there was a large horse where adults and children could get on those and pose with Fred Kirby. And I went up to him and I put my hand in his. He spoke to me and I melted like butter. Oh, we rode that train and we lost money on those games that are always rigged, trying to knock down a 50-pound milk jug with a 5-ounce ball that's made of paper mache. But I'm going to tell you, when I got home, you know what I told everybody? I didn't tell them about the games that we played or that old cold steam fired train. Man, I went through the neighborhood and I said, you'll never guess who talked to me. Yeah, that man on TV, Fred Kirby. Yeah. He talked to me. They could have said, well, what did he say? I'd have said, I don't know, but he did. He talked to me. Man, I was excited about that. You know, that childhood enthusiasm sometimes infects adults. You go to some famous event. Hey, man, Cam Newton said hello to me. When in reality, he was looking at all the stands screaming to 5,000. But you say, he talked to me. We'll get it for all I can. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that you ought not be excited about hearing from this athlete or hearing from this famous person. But you know, it is sad for me to realize that sometimes I am more eager and more delighted to hear from an athlete than I am from God. You say, well, Cam Newton can throw a ball 80 yards in the air. Well, that may be great, but did he hang the stars? You say, well, this politician, he's going, or she, or whoever, is going to deliver us. Did they save your soul? You say, well, I'm going to tell you what, he has lots of money. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? What am I saying? Who else should we be more excited about than hearing from than God Himself? But here is what has infected us. We come to our Bibles with a ho-hum attitude. We roll our eyes and say, oh, what a familiar story. We sit in church bored to tears and we say, what is wrong with our country? We've lost our excitement about hearing from God. That's what's wrong with our country. That's what's wrong with our churches. Young people, I want to encourage you tonight. You can be excited about hearing from God. Moms and dads, don't let it be said that you're more eager to hear from anybody else than God Himself. We've lost our wonder, and tonight we need to regain it. But then let's go to verse number 10. It says, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Moses goes in, the cloudy pillar stands at the door, and did you notice the reaction of all the people when they saw this? The Bible said that they stood up, here's a very key word, worshipped. Now I want to take a few moments to tell you the word worship is one of the most misunderstood words in church culture today. Now, if I might quit preaching and go to meddling for just a moment. There are a lot of churches today, they would have a person on their staff called a worship pastor. You say, well, what's wrong with that title? Well, if the title's fits the job description, I have no problem with it. But in essence, in a lot of churches today, a worship pastor or a worship leader is just a glorified musician. He can sing and he can play and he's going to be a worship leader. You say, what problem do you have with that? Did you know music is not the exclusive definition of worship? I mean, listen, a little theological accuracy would demand tonight. Listen, when it comes to a music, or it comes to a worship leader, listen, the Bible never says that music's just worship. And that's a lot of times where they're equated, one and the same. Now, don't get me wrong, I think music is a part of our worship. But some churches say, well, that's all it is. And it amazes me that many churches today, they can fill up an auditorium not with sound Bible preaching, but with fleshly, worldly music. And they call it worship. You can't worship God on your own terms. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does it mean then to worship? You mean worship is just not this? You know, worship is just not... No, worship is not just singing. You know what worship literally means? The word worship in the most basic sense means this, to bow down. You say, that's anticlimactic. That's not as fun as swinging your hips. You see, we can come to church and we come to a worship service, but yet if our heart is far from God, we're not worshiping. We dress up in our duds if we're not coming straight from work and we come to church and we look as pretty as you please. You say, I'm wearing a new dress. I'm wearing a sweater with this nice puffy scarf. Some of you guys say, look, I'm wearing a polo shirt. I'm not looking like a scruffy. Didn't come here with holes all in my shirt and my hair all messed up like this. You know, you can come to church looking as pretty as you please, but if your heart is hard, understand tonight you're not worshiping. Worship is a place that you come in your life where your life and your heart is bowed before God. That's worship. When you grab a hymnal, you grab a hymnal with a surrendered heart and sing. When you sit down in a pew, let it be said that your heart is submitted to God. We have such an external idea of worship. When the Bible shows us with great depth, it is submitting our hearts to God and doing His bidding. That's worship. It's a good thing to bow down before the Lord. It's a good thing to be on your knees. But my friend, listen, it's not just your physical posture. It's the posture of your heart tonight. Don't you be one of millions in America today in church culture to misidentify worship. It's not singing flashy songs to worldly tunes that could be played in a bar. It's bowing your heart before God. Sometimes worship doesn't involve making the most noise. Sometimes it involves just being quiet. Being still and knowing that He is God. But then we come to verse number 11, and this is where we stop tonight. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. The imagery here to me is very powerful. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have any of you ever seen God face to face? That's another trick question. Might have simplified. Have any of you seen God tonight? I was teaching an Academy Bible class. I was given what I think was an impossible task many years ago. I had to teach kindergartners through sixth graders in the same Bible class. Do you realize how tough that is? I mean, kindergartners who are dreaming about puppy dogs and sixth graders that are about ready to get rid of their Legos and go into manhood. That's what they thought. I was teaching that Academy Bible class, and I said, fellas, I want to ask you a question. Have any of you ever seen God before? Now, for those of you who work in children's ministry, you know that it's a dangerous thing to ask children questions. You never know what they're going to say. They may tell you what happened with mom and dad 10 minutes ago. They may tell you something that blows your mind. And I asked that question, how many of you have ever seen God? I'll never forget it. One of those fellas in that class, little boy whose parents were from West Virginia, he had a tan complexion, blue eyes, flat top, his name Ryan. Ryan, when he heard that, he went like this. Only one in the class. And I shook my head. I thought, this has blown this illustration out of the water. I said, Ryan, have you ever seen God? He looked at me and he said, I said, Ryan, where did you see God? I'll never forget his response. Thick southern accent, he said, I seen him on television. I thought, now what? I looked at him and I said, Ryan, the Bible says that no man has seen God at any time. And so whatever you thought was God, whatever you saw, and now you're trying to explain this to a kid. You're like, it was somebody who was pretending to be God, but it wasn't really God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And with blank look. Oh, thankfully years later I know that he's seen the light. The truth is, none of you in this room, you've ever seen God. If you'd seen God, you'd be dead because of the brightness of His countenance and glory. Well, with that in mind, I ask you tonight, what does it mean then? And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Well, first of all, I want to point out, it didn't say that the Lord saw Moses face to face. It said it spake to him face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. It's not talking about a physical proximity, but it is talking about a spiritual intimacy. You ladies know this as well as I do, but especially you ladies, all of us have a personal zone. Did you know that? There's a space, for some of you it's a foot. Some of you it's 8 inches. Some of you are 6. And if you're any less than that, you need help. But when people get in that zone, all of a sudden, your warnings start to flash. You're not my mother. You're not my daughter. You're not my wife. Please leave immediately. I've talked to people after church. Sometimes it's a man who maybe he doesn't hear as well. And because he can't hear, he leans in. And when he leans in, I lean out. And then when I lean out, he steps in. And I step out. And on a few occasions in my ministry, I've sadly felt my heels click together against the wall, and there's no other place to run. All of you tonight, you have that place. You're like, I only let certain people right there. They are either related to me, or soon to be, or I don't know, but it's a very select few. Why? Because that is an intimate spot. Now here's my question to you tonight. When's the last time God has been in that intimate spot in your life? You say, well, I read my Bible every day. Well, listen, let's give you a badge. It's not just about reading your Bible. It's about getting up off your bed, getting up off a chair, getting up off of a couch, and sensing that the God of heaven has spoken to you face to face. So often we just settle for some hurried glance, when tonight God wants to just grab you by the cheeks and say, listen, listen to me. My daughter came through the room, living room, a couple years ago. She was talking to me, and like a typical male, I was engrossed in something else. My daughter's retelling me all this stuff. Daddy, are you listening to me? Yes, ma'am. Daddy, are you? What did I say? And I would even say what she said. We have that learned trait. We subliminally, we've stored it, but we don't comprehend it. She could have said, Daddy, I just killed my brothers. And what did I say? You just said you killed your brothers. But it just does not register in my mind. I'll never forget that girl came up to me, 8 years old or so, put her hands on the side of my face, put my head up and said, Daddy, listen to me. Sometimes I think God wants to do that to us. Some of us in this room, listen, we've not been in the Bible really worth anything in recent days. God says, why don't you just put things down and let me talk to you face to face? Some of you tonight are at such a point in your life where you need guidance more than you could ever believe. And God wants you to slow down tonight, and He wants to speak to you face to face through this book. When life is too busy to hear from God, life is too busy. And yet that is the rat race that we fall into. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Here it is, as a man speaketh with his friend. You have friends? I hope so. If you don't, I'm your friend. There's some friends. You ever pour your heart out to a friend and that friend pour his or her heart out to you? There's a casual ease. When I sit in airplanes and talk to people beside of me, a lot of times you just sort of have to warm up and pray that they're halfway civil. Just go up to a total stranger and start talking. You say, that's an awkward experience. But you know what it's like when you sit down with a close friend and you guys just begin catching up and you're like, oh, wow, this is so refreshing. Not trying to be irreverent tonight, because I believe that God ought to be treated with the greatest respect, but I'm glad that He is our friend, and I'm glad tonight that we can sit and listen to Him and He can speak to us as a man speaketh with his friend. What I've just read to you tonight ought to be the norm in Christianity, but far too many times it has become the exception. I want you to think about the fact of when's the last time you've really heard from the Lord through His Word. Maybe it was this morning. Maybe it was in recent days. But I want you to think with me tonight, is there much of an intimacy there? Is there a specialness? Or you'd say, preacher, I have grown cold. Then tonight, I want you to feel God's tender hands just come alongside your cheeks and gently raise your head and hear Him say, listen to me. I want to talk to you. I talked to some teenagers. How many texts do you send out a month? One girl was like, I probably send out about 900 a week. I said, man, I hope you're on the unlimited plan. Or you better buy a funeral plan. How many minutes do you have? Data. We've got an old plan, so it's still grandfathered, unlimited data, but now they just put a gun to your head. You'll leave this service tonight. Some of you, before you pillow your bed, you'll look at this phone 4 and 5 times. You'll have 2 or 3 phone calls. You'll send out 100 texts before you go to bed. You say, oh, I really excel when it comes to human communication. You know what's a real tragedy? Is when we excel in human communication, but we fail miserably in divine communication. You want to return to that place where you once were? Then esteem the words of His mouth more than your necessary food. Let's bow our heads together. You know, the Lord has a word for every person in this room tonight. And that word is this: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's communication with me all started first at salvation. Showing me the bad news that I was a sinner and telling me the good news that Jesus had died for me. I wonder if there's anybody in our midst tonight, you would say this. You would say, Alton, I've heard the message tonight. And to be honest, hearing from God is something that is totally foreign to me. I can't say that I've ever had any time of intimacy in hearing from God. And the reason may be because you have never become one of His children. Can I tell you tonight, you have to start at the very beginning. And God communicates to you that He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my friend, if you've never trusted Christ, that's where communication from God all begins. You're here tonight. You'd say, Alton, would you pray for me? I'm here. One of two things is true. I'm either not sure, or I know that I'm not saved. And divine communication from God, it all starts with trusting Christ. And you'd say, Alton, I'm here. I'm either not sure, or I know that I'm not saved. And my need tonight is to settle this matter of my salvation. That's where my communication from God has to begin. And God's dealing in my heart about this matter of salvation. Would you pray for me tonight? If that's you, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you just slip your hand up quietly right where you're at, and I'll pray for you in just a moment. Anybody like that? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? You may put it down. You'd say, preacher, would you pray for me tonight? I can't say that I've ever really heard from God. And tonight, it very well may be that I need to deal with this matter of salvation. Anybody else? Would you just slip your hand up? Anybody else? All right, I want to say to you this evening that's raised your hand, and to those of you that maybe think that you should, but you fail to. Tonight, God gives you an invitation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And if you're here tonight and you need to deal about the matter of your salvation in a moment when an invitation is given, I'm going to ask you just to kindly leave your seat quietly and come and see Pastor, and we'll have somebody take a Bible and help you to settle that matter tonight. I hope that you'll come. See, I believe by your admission of that need tonight, God's already dealing in your heart. You're hearing Him deal with you, and tonight you ought to come. I hope you will. Now, Christian, I want to ask you tonight, I wonder how many here would say, Brother Beal, tonight in the course of this message, God has convicted me in one of several areas. For some of you tonight, you've been more eager to hear from your friends than to hear from God, and that is shown in the fact that you've not touched your Bible in some amount of time outside of church. There may be others of you tonight, listen, you are faithful to church, but you have found yourself falling into the trap of the same old, same old. There was a time when you read the Bible and it came forth with life, and you find your senses dulled tonight. You're more excited about hearing from other people than you are from God, and tonight you need to recapture that. Maybe there's other areas tonight that God's dealt in your heart, but I wonder how many here this evening, you'd say, Alton, in this service, I know that I'm a Christian, but perhaps you've lost your wonder at hearing from God on a regular basis. There's a time in your life you are much more intimate with Him than you are tonight. A time when you are much more regular in the Word and you find yourself tonight losing your excitement over communication from God. And you'd say on this Monday night of Thanksgiving week, I want to thank God for touching my heart tonight in this matter of hearing from Him. God knows the need of my heart, preacher, but He has dealt in my heart about communication from Him. And tonight I wish you'd pray for me. If that's you, would you slip your hand up tonight? Thank you. Several in this room, you may put them down. Folks, tonight is the night for us to regain the wonder of hearing from God. Would you humble your heart this evening and recapture it? I hope you will. Would you join me in standing, our heads bowed and our eyes closed? Join me in standing tonight, Father. Lord, my prayer as we close this service is a very simple one. God, I pray for those here tonight that need to know the Lord. I thank You for working in my heart many years ago, Lord, at that matter of salvation. And I pray tonight, during this invitation, that one and others here would step out and Lord, they would nail down the matter of salvation. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters tonight. May we pause before we go back to our homes. And Lord, may we admit our need. And Lord, may we leave this place with an excitement that we've lost for some time. God, revive our hearts tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.